May be seated. Let us move forward in our discourse, and everybody should have the document. Make sure our guest has one. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? On the front cover there, in the picture, the little writings there, the conveyance, and this tells what we are doing, viewing life from the eternal plane, where God accomplished all things, brings peace to daily living. And we are here all type of panaceas and prescriptions telling us that this is the way to enjoy life. Have many ministries called Enjoy Life Now. Your best life now. How to get over, how to be successful, amen. How to be happy, how to. Amen. When you examine them, most structured and based from the horizontal earthly plateau. In other words, the earthly view. How can I take the things from the vantage point of the earth and be happy? And it amazes me, because when we look at the scriptures, if all you're going to do is view the earthly physical, there's no way you can have any encouragement or happiness in viewing such. Amen. Happiness is about God, that is knowing God, and having a personal and close relationship with Him through the knowledge of Him, and placing your hope, your aims, your aspirations, all on Him. And in the heavenlies, eternal sphere, and away from anything that is physical, because everything that is physical is deteriorating. Not just something. Everything that is physical is deteriorating. Everything. Nothing is stable. All
right. Amen.
Nothing can be counted on. Nothing can be hoped for in themselves. All hope, all security must be invested in God, in the things of God, in the heavenlies, non-material,
amen.
Spiritual. These are the things that we must depend upon. And these are the only things that we can depend upon. Now, in the document, I want you to turn several pages to the section God's ontological existence in Himself. God's ontological existence in Him. In Himself. In conjunction with that, I want you to turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Deacon Galvin is our designated reader. And also in the Philippians chapter 2 verse 6. I think what we'll do is we'll go to Philippians first, Brother Deacon. And just pull out that one verse and we'll be back to it. There's a nugget I want to pull out of there. And then we will go into Colossians. Again, in Philippians. Now, I want you also to go to the glossary. Because we are going to be conveying some terms, and before we get started, we should probably, before we get started, we should define them. Some of us may not be familiar with some of the terminology that we shall be conveying. Glossary of definitions. Everyone has that? Go down to the word. We have several words in here. Ontology. Everybody say ontology.
Ontology.
And our glossary of definitions. Ontology is the study that is concerned with what constitutes existence or what constitutes coming into being. What does it mean for a thing to exist or come into being is what ontology is. Another term we shall be using this morning is conceptualization. Everyone said conceptualization.
Conceptualization.
Look into the glossary of definitions. Conception is the origination of beginning. That is the act a power of forming an idea or substance. Again, conception is the beginning or the origination of the act a power of forming an idea or substance. And by the way, all of these acts that are attributable to ontology are ontologizing and conception belong to God. Even though we use the term conception in almost on a daily basis, we're really not ever talking about conception in its purest sense. Pure conception is to bring in to action a being something that has never been before. In other words, to make something out of nothing. And though we may construe sometimes that something is being formed, you can always trace the original idea to an idea before it, or through something that spurred that idea. So there's always some source of the idea. Except when we speak of conceptualization, as we shared this morning, we're talking about actually bringing something out of nothing.
Amen.
Which is different from bringing something out of something. Or bringing something out of something else.
Right.
Follow me this morning. All right, everyone has Philippians chapter, what did I call, chapter 2, verse 6, amen. Okay, well, I guess Brother Deacon is, we cannot break our ruling, so I won't, let's read it within the context, but I'm fighting the clock this morning as we always are, amen. Well, just go on to verse 1 and read down through verse 6, and then we'll deal with the verse that is before us. And because I do want to get into Colossians and get into that this morning, amen. All right, read. Yes, start with the King James.
Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, if King James version.
Mm-hmm.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Keep going.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Now, let's go to the Greek, and here is Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi. He's basically setting forth the structure of joy and peace, and what will bring us peace. And amen. You know, some said knowledge is power. Well, knowledge is peace. Amen. I'm not going to say that knowledge is not power, but I'm also, amen, the scripture teaches us here, what he said, the scriptures are teaching us that knowledge is peace. Amen. The more knowledge you have, the more peace you have. Amen. The less knowledge you have, the less peace you have. Amen. You know, you're knocking yourself out, wearing yourself, and putting extra gray hairs in your head, but things are going on around you, and simply because the unknown frightens us. It frightens us, doesn't it? Huh? The unknown terrifies us. Oh my God! that saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. Now that's not true. That's not true. Oh no! Well, what you don't know could be lethal. It could kill you. Oh my God. But he's talking about peace here. He's talking about joy in verse 2. Joy. Fulfill my joy. Oh, my God. Amen. Fulfill my joy that you be what?
Like-minded.
You be like-minded. All right, let's go to the Greek. Verse 2. Stop at verse 2 there.
Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 2. Interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Fulfill ye of me the joy.
Mm-hmm.
In order that the same thing ye think.
Mm-hmm.
The same love having.
Mm-hmm.
One in soul. The one thing thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. Nothing by way of rivalry, nor by way of vain glory.
Mm-hmm.
But in humility, one another deeming, surpassing themselves.
See, knowledge is what brings us. It synchronizes us. We get so focused on the message. Not about all this other crazy foolishness. Who's the big dog? Who's the little dog? And all that. That's crazy. Amen. Because knowledge brings us. We get so enamored with God and with Christ until we see that He is everything. And we're what? We're nothing. Amen. So if there's nothing there, there's nothing to fight over. See, I'm the biggest of the nothings. you see what I'm saying? So if there's nothing there, then, amen, we're all going to focus on what is something.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me. Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Not the things of themselves,
mm-hmm.
each one's looking at.
Oh, my God.
But also the things of others,
mm-hmm.
each one's.
Mm-hmm.
This think ye among you, which also in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who in form of God.
Christ Jesus, who. Mm-hmm. That verse starts out with a relative pronoun, os. Which is translated who. It is in the nominative case, which means it is the subject. Oh, my God. God is the subject. The focus here is on God.
Yes.
Who? Amen. Jesus Christ, that goes back to Jesus Christ. Well, that's Jesus Christ. It's not God. Jesus Christ is God.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Jesus Christ. Who is God? So Christ, who what?
Who in form of God, subsisting.
Listen. Oh, my God. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to a little grammar. We have to. And so, Pastor, why are we doing it? We do this because we want to actually bring out what is actually saying.
What is it saying?
You know, sometimes someone says something, you're not sure. You say, now what did you say? Because you want to make sure that you're getting the actual conveyance. So when we go to the Greek, all we're saying is, what is it saying? That's what we're doing. It reads, os e morphi theou. Which, that phrase is who? In form of God. The preposition in there. That's os in morphi theou. In is a preposition. It is in the dative case. That means it is locative. Locative case means it is in the sphere of. Who is Jesus Christ? So who in the form of God? He were in the nature of God. Jesus is God. It's unfortunate that we have to even have that dialogue of having to convey this, except you won't understand it unless the Spirit of God gives, that even in Christendom, There are those that don't understand that Jesus is God. If Jesus is not God, you are still in your sins this morning. If Jesus is God, if Jesus is not God, you're doomed. If Jesus is not God, we might as well close up, walk out of here. First of all, we don't have a ghost of a chance, and we have even a less of a chance than Israel, and they don't have a ghost of a chance if Jesus is not God. Even though they deny him this morning, the eyes have been blinded, amen. But for those of us, especially Gentiles, amen, what influence do we have into God if Jesus is not God? In God. Read that sixth verse over again, Brother Deacon. I want you to do it very slowly.
Going back to five. Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who in form of God,
mm-hmm.
subsisting, not robbery, deemed thee to be equal with God.
Okay. Very slowly, I'm going to walk through this. Here we have the Greek verb epakon, which is rendered being. What is the being of God? What is the being of Christ? Here, it is structured with a negative particle, ok, which means not. He's saying, who in the form of God, iyisato, thought, a thought. Here, we have a grammatical construction of which each one, I notice some of them use the term robbery. That's not the word there. We have a noun. The noun is apartmon, apartmon. Syllable is on the last. The accent is on the last syllable. It is a noun. It is an accusative case. And it actually conveys something to grasp after or something to hold on. So Jesus didn't think that the nature of God was something that he needed to grasp or hold on. He didn't need to hold on or grasp it because he always was.
Amen.
In other words, the nature of God is not something that Jesus obtained.
Uh-oh. Hallelujah.
It is something that he always possessed.
Yes.
If Jesus is not God, what are you doing sitting here this morning? We might as well eat, drink, be as merry as you can in this world, whatever that means. But the last part, you're surely going to die if Jesus is not God. If Jesus has always been God, you're still in trouble. Here he was saying, the nature of God is not something that Jesus ever had to comprehend.
Glory to God.
It reads, O's as mophi theo epikon uk apamong isato. He never thought that the nature of God was something that he needed to amen, to obtain, to comprehend, to have bestowed upon him. Now we can't say that. God gave us the nature of Christ and the nature of God when he chose and elected us in eternity. But that's not the case with Jesus. This is why many, many scriptures there talk about what Jesus became. You can say that in manifestation. You can say in manifestation that he became incarnated in flesh.
Right.
You can say in manifestation that he grew.
Right.
You can say in manifestation that he was once a child and then he became a man. You can say in manifestation that he went to Calvary. And that he died. But when you come to the nature of God, he always was.
Amen.
He is because he was.
Yeah, right.
Jesus is God. Everybody say Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
Don't you ever be shy around anyone who wants to come with any other doctrine of saying, well, he's just the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're grateful this morning that he has given us the revelation of knowing who he is. Because everybody don't know that Jesus is God. And so it was not something that he had to grasp. This verse ends. He didn't think. And he saw Toto any is a stone which is translated. What he didn't think was because that he is. We have an adjective there. We have an adjective. Esau. It means equality. Or equal. Or the same. My God, I want to hear this right here. Jesus is equal to God.
Amen. Thank God.
Right before the eyes.
Right there.
Now, some translators, a few translators, they put the term there that means Jesus is in agreement with God.
Right.
No. But the connotation there is that the equality means same. Jesus is the same as God. All right. Now we have to understand this as we go into our dialogue this morning. Are you with me? All right. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. We will be back to that, amen, just some things that we're prefacing before we go into the aspect of Colossians this morning, amen. So when we get to certain things, we can just keep on moving. But we will be back to Philippians at some point. Colossians chapter 2, my deacon, start reading, oh my God, start reading at verse 1, where we'll just contextualize that. Amen. Hopefully we get where we get through this and get where we're going today. Everybody got to say amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1.
All right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Yep.
For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you,
mm-hmm.
and for them at Laodicea,
mm-hmm.
and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of
and you see how he mm-hmm. how he ties being comforted
mm-hmm.
with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
He goes straight to knowledge, doesn't he?
Being comforted.
The only thing that's going to comfort us is what?
It's
the knowledge of God.
Of God, understanding.
Knowledge and understanding of God. Mm-hmm. Knowledge,
amen.
Understanding. You see, what we don't understand, we fear.
Sure.
Understanding, misunderstanding rather, perpetrates fear.
Yeah. Really.
In the coming months, as we lead up to the election, you're going to see a tactic that they call ad hominem. What is that? This is where you appeal to the fears of people based upon ignorance rather than intellect. In other words, the tactic is not to appeal to intellect, but to appeal to ignorance. To appeal to a prejudice, and what is the underlying force of prejudice? Ignorance. So I'm going to appeal to prejudice rather than appeal to intellect. Ad hominem. That's what campaigns are made of. And sadly, this is how many ministers strive, by appealing to ignorance. Appealing to everything but the fact.
That's it.
Because you know, with the facts, here's the thing about the fact you got to stop and you're ministering to get these facts, you got to study. You got to get deep down into this word, and you got to get down into the nitty gritty of this word. You're going to be dealing with facts.
Facts. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm amazed sometimes, times that I have been with pastors and said, well, I got to rush home because I got to get something together for tomorrow, and it's Saturday evening. So where have you been? My God. That's like somebody going into the kitchen and say, let me throw something together. You just about know what you're going to get. Huh? You're not going to get the gourmet stuff. Ever. Huh? No. Paul immediately, his focus is on knowledge. And we make no apologies here in this ministry for being epistemic. Epistemology, that word is in there. It's in the glossary. Deal with knowledge. Deal with facts.
Yes. Amen.
We won't even attempt to deal with the imperative except we utilize the indicative. The imperative is what you must do. The indicative is getting the facts straight. Because you can't do what you don't know, can you? Huh? Can you do the right thing if you don't know the right thing? No. No. No, you can't. Now, you can do a thing or something, but if it's not, if you don't know the right thing to do, you can't do it, can you? No, you cannot. No, you can't. No, you can't.
Amen.
And so here, if you want joy, we want peace, amen, it's not about five ways to do nothing. All right, but go ahead and read that. I bet. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's just so much. And that cock is beating us up. But, oh my God, it's so much here. I'm praying. Oh my God, it's just so many things. As we reach the last, beginning in the last quarter, we enter the last quarter of the first decade of the 21st century. And there are a lot of things that are yet to be manifested, and some of them are going to be downright frightening and knock you to your knees if you don't have this knowledge.
That's right. Amen.
You see, we have taken comfort in an illusion.
Come on here. Come on here. Bring it out.
Our trust and our confidence are in imaginary, illusionary things. And when they're manifested for what they are, amen, many so-called foundations are going to be shaken to the ground. But oh, you must know that there's only one foundation to stand upon, Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, we don't care what's going on out here. Every time we come in here, what are we talking about?
Jesus.
God. You're not going to parade no candidates through here? Oh no, not here.
Never.
Not long as I'm pastor, in a way. No way. Everyone is. You're welcome to come here to gospel the grace of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll even acknowledge you.
Mm-hmm.
But we will engage the attendees in that which is going to stand when all the rest of that is going to fall.
Yes. Glory to God.
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right.
You're going to see institutions crumble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Foundations shatter.
Mm-hmm. Glory.
The men are going to lose. They're going to lose their minds. Because we're dependent upon the wrong thing for peace.
Yes, we are.
For joy, for happiness,
yes,
for contentment.
Yes, we are. Wrong thing. Yes.
There's only one source for these. Everybody said Jesus.
Jesus.
Read.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and Father of and of Christ.
Yes, yeah. Ooh, but that is all messed up. Let's go to the Greek. Now, let me say this. Nobody's picking on the King James. But what we're going to do is we're going to take the actual manuscript scripting.
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Exegete it.
That's right. That's right.
And get the right conveyance
right.
Before we explain it.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're put in a position of explaining something that is not the conveyance.
Oh, preach. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Now, the King James, like many other the translations, they're way off on that verse. Now, I don't mean they just missed it by a little bit, but as we say in the South, where I come from, they missed it by a country mile.
Yeah,
Read that, Brother Deacon, and go real slowly. We don't get through with this today. I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Very slowly. And I know we're probably moving in the format didactic presentation this morning to you, amen. But I said to you, this is some information we've got to get together. We got to get it together, amen. There's something out there waiting on us. And you're going to need this. Very slowly, Brother Deacon.
Colossians.
You don't have a Greek interlinear. Follow it closely with the King James, and you're going to see some words that are going to disappear.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Colossians, chapter 2, verse 2,
mm-hmm.
Interlinear Greek text. In order that may be comforted, the hearts of them being joined together.
See,
He missed that.
Oh my God.
Having been.
He missed that. And you know, I think what happens is they go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. And they see that expression in those two verses. I think we was dealing with that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. And they see those in the present tense. And then when they get to this particular passage, because Ephesians 2:21 and 22 and the like are in the present tense. They see the iris here and they ignore it. No. Do not, listen then. Do not ignore the iris tense. Iris tense is what? Completed action. It's a difference whether I'm on the way to the store or whether I've been to the store. If I've been to the store, what?
Yes.
It's done.
It's done.
If I'm on the way to the store, how many of you have been on your way somewhere and never got there? Something happened.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those songs that they used to sing, you know, on my way to heaven anyhow. And,
mm-hmm.
and I like, you know, anyhow, on my way to heaven anyhow. On my way. Haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Never,
huh?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I'm on a journey. And my goal is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. It's a difference. And so when we get to passages like that, and it's telling us it's a done deal,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to hear that.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And you wonder why we exegete? Mm-hmm. Give me a break.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to this.
Glory to God.
Very slowly read that again. In order that. No, that's the belief. Don't. I don't even hear that again. Haven't been. That Greek.
Okay.
That is a participle. That word. That Greek participle is synvivos. That's a thing. There's synvivos. Thing there's.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It is in the aorist tense. It is in the passive voice. Been joined.
Right.
It even tell you how you were joined.
Mm-hmm.
It reads, see, be vasting there's in agape.
Uh-huh. In love.
Having been joined in love.
Yeah.
And if you were going, if they were going to go and they were going to look at something, then you should have looked at chapter 1.
Amen.
Of Ephesians. If you were going to look into Ephesians and be influenced by verse, it should have been in chapter. Let me do a sidebar. Hold that for me. Oh my God. Let's go to verse 1, Brother Deacon. Everybody, hold that. Now keep your finger there in Colossians. We'll come back there. Oh my God. In verse 4. Read it from the Greek. We don't even want to waste time with the,
mm-hmm.
with the translations here.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, interlinear Greek text.
Everybody got that? Say amen. Read.
As he chose us.
Chose us
in him.
In him.
Before the foundation of the world.
When?
Being holy.
No, when?
In eternity.
Before creation. Before the creation of the world.
Right.
Before. He chose us in him. Before the creation of the world.
Foundation of the world.
That's when you were saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul could write and say, before Esau or Jacob ever got on the scene, God loved one and hated the other. Why? Because the action occurs in the decree.
That's right.
We got to get out of the salvation business. Somebody said, "Whoa, Pastor, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. Aren't we in the salvation business?" No, we're not. Mm-hmm. We're in the testimony business.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in the saving business.
No.
We're in the business of testifying about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry is, the goal of the ministry is not to get people saved. The ministry is to give out the information, amen, oh my God, because whoever is saved was saved.
Were.
Mm-hmm. When? Before the foundation of the creation of the world. They used to teach us that people were being saved and people were being added to the body of Christ daily.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going to second chapter of Ephesians 21 and 22, Paul was saying manifestation. If you actually exegete that, place that in the context, what is being manifested each day is the body of Christ.
Right.
And that deals with our growth and maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Not who God placed there.
Amen.
That's something you'll never know.
Never.
You will never know.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Except for yourself, you will never know.
Mm-hmm.
Who God's elect are.
Mm-hmm.
As we walk through here.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're saved. I believe you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That glory.
And that salvation is not based upon me.
Right.
But it's based upon what he has already done. My growth and maturity is a work in progress, hopefully. But my salvation is not. My salvation is a done deal.
Done deal. Done. Finished.
When you focus on him.
Mm-hmm.
Before the foundation of the world, what?
Being us holy.
For us being holy. For I being holy.
And unblemished.
Before
him in love.
In love. And of course, actually, that verse should cut off there. In love begins in the next verse.
Mm.
If you're going to properly assess.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with in love and go to verse 4.
Right.
Read.
In love, predestinating us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ.
In love,
excellent.
Foreordaining us.
Mm-hmm.
So the foreordination is in love.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to tie in a verse to Colossians chapter 2, it should have been this verse.
Mm-hmm.
Same terminology, in love.
Yes,
Jesus. You're for being in love.
Love.
Glory to God.
Except they got some baggage there that they have to bring with it. Mm-hmm. And that is before the foundation of the word.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
If you say in love, then you got to bring before the foundation of the world with it. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. Amen. I'm going to go just a few minutes over this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of God. You take the love of God away, mm-hmm. we all doomed.
Amen.
None of us are worth our salt, as the saying goes.
Amen.
None of us are worthy. We're all unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
None are worthy. And you see, you have to come up with the facts. The fact is, He loved you. Mm-hmm. He loved you before He ever made you. He said, well, look what I am. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. It's not the basis of God looking to see what you are. Amen. Because those that he loved before he ever. My God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Glory to God.
Before any manifestation of creation,
right.
He loved you.
Mm-hmm.
You were saved.
Yes.
Before
yes.
then.
Yes.
There are going to be some people that. Body of Christ look around and see other members and they say, what you doing here? And he said, huh, what you doing here? You know, based upon how we think and look and people, you say, what you doing here? Amen. That person will be able to turn around and say the same thing to you. Amen. What are you doing here?
That's
the
right.
same thing you're doing here.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I was elected.
That's right.
And chosen.
Chosen.
May not never preach the sermon, but I was chosen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Might not even have testified it,
mm-hmm.
but I was chosen.
Chosen.
The deceased infant
yep.
that never walked out.
Never did.
What are you doing here? The mentally incapacitated
yes, yes.
that may not ever claim Christ.
Right.
What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
That one who never heard about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, in the Old Testament, nobody heard about him. And even the Jews, amen, who had a covenant with God, amen, you could make some case of and said, well, amen, they looked toward Calvary, of course, that hole in the water. But what about those Gentiles in the Old Testament? The millions and millions and millions and millions of them. Put them all in hell. What's the answer?
Election.
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 Election. Election.
Thank God. Glory. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Read that. Give me 10 minutes. I'm going to bail out in about 10 minutes.
Again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In order that may be comforted the hearts of them having been joined together
My
in love.
My God, what could give you more comfort than knowing
mm-hmm.
that you've already been joined together?
Mm-hmm.
In love.
In love. In love.
Mm-hmm. What? In love.
In love.
Didn't say anything about your worth. Thank God, worth and value is not on the table.
Thank God. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. What's on the table? Love.
Love. Love. Love.
Love. Amen.
He did it in love. Read.
And for all riches of the full assurance.
Oh, he messed that up too.
He messed that up too. For full knowledge of the mystery of God.
Yep.
Of Christ.
Yep. Now, why do we exegete?
Mm-hmm.
Because before you can actually explain it,
mm-hmm.
you got to get the correct conveyance.
Right.
What Paul is saying here. that we may be comforted of that our hearts, our minds, comforted, first of all, in the fact of having been joined in love. And then he has a coordinating conjunction there. Care, and I'm going to just you bear with me now. You all indulge me. We got to get down to what this is saying. It's care is pon plutosis. Plutostis. Is pon plutostis. Pleroforios. Tis. And here we have a now synesthesis, which is translated understanding. The Greek now, Plutos, as, accusative neuter. Plutos, is Plutos T, of course T, that is the definite article. Plutos, it is a noun. Now, here is the problem. They've translated that riches. If you take a dictionary and you look up the word rich, you will see that it is an adjective. The declension here and structure is a noun. In order to indicate it now, you would have to say riches. And this is why most of them translated that riches. No, it's a noun. In order for them to translate that, for to be a noun, they have to say riches. Actually, that word is richness. And the problem is, if you say riches, while you have satisfied the noun aspect, Plutos, it is a noun, but it is singular. And if you say riches, you have satisfied the fact that it is a noun, but it's plural. And it's not plural, it is a noun and it's single. So that word has to be richness. What's the difference? What's the richness? Richness is speaking about wealth. Here you have the structure is pon plustos. That means, and you notice pon there doesn't have a definite article. So you're not saying all. So all would not be applicable there. Mm-hmm. That should read to every richness. Rich. Not to all riches, but to every richness. To every richness. To every richness. Now, where is that going? We have the noun plurophorios, which is in the genitive case. So, to every richness that belongs to full assurance.
Oh, wow.
is the full assurance. That's the value you get out of what this richness is. And here we have full assurance. We have the Greek now synosels, which is in the genitive case. So you have two double genitives. Follow me now. I'm going to end with this morning. Every kind of richness that belongs to full assurance, that belongs to understanding. There's a wealth of assurance in understanding. I don't know whether y'all got this or not. Let me just break it down.
Glory. Make it plain.
You, there is a vast array of conviction and certainty and assurance and understanding. So knowledge is supreme. When all around you are trembling, and when all around you are just completely discombobulated, you can stand in peace. Why? Because of the knowledge. And this is all we're doing from week to week as we come out here and we talk about actualization versus manifestation. We're just saying that God in eternity, listen to me, God in eternity did all things, decreed all things, accomplished all things. You, by being in Him, you're in the catbird seat.
Yes.
As they say in the South. You're in a most favorable position.
Most.
In all that He has done. Your welfare is completely taken care of. And some don't get all caught up and messed up because of what is being manifested. Let's go by what's decreed. Because the actualization of the bottom line belongs to what God has decreed. And as we understand what He's decreed, it's like watching a game. You ever watch the game, your team or something? And then you watched it later on video.
Right.
The replay.
Right.
Did you go through the same antics?
Nope.
During the replay that you went through while you was watching the game?
Nope.
No. In fact, there are times I've watched games and I knew the final outcome of it. And because I knew the final outcome, amen, if the team got by 20 points, 15 points, whatever, I was all in.
Amen.
What we're trying to get you to see that this thing is already done.
Already done.
And what's being manifested daily in your life is only a replay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, huh? There's wealth and knowledge of mind, the full outcome. Amen. And so you're not going for all these changes because you're witnessing the replay. We'll come back to this next week. I want you to do one thing. Give me 5 minutes. I know we're going a little over here, but let's turn to God's ontological existence within Himself. I want you to look this over, and then next week we'll come back and we'll deal with this in some detail. Amen. Everybody got it? God's ontological existence in Himself. Now, remember, we're going through what ontology is. it speaks of existence. So we're talking about God's bringing into being, a God's essence of being in himself. Everybody got it? Say amen. The existence of God is a subject that has dominated various schools of thought and philosophy and theology for thousands of years. In most instances, the subject of ontology has evolved into diverse debates, which evinces a plethora of assumptions and definitions. Many philosophers and even some theologians have spent their lifespans in disputation about what the essence of existence really entails. Here, the first consensus must be the definition of what ontology is. In its broadest sense, ontology is a specification of a conceptualization. Yeah, we'll be back to this next week. The word ontology seems to generate a lot of controversy and discussions about its significations. It has a long history in philosophy, in which it refers to the subject of existence. It is also often confused with mankind's conception of epistemology, which is strictly about knowledge and knowing. In the context of knowledgeable apportionment, ontology denotes detailed explications of a conceptualization. In this sense, ontology is a description, like a formal specification of a program, of the concepts and relations that can exist for an agent or a field of agents. This is consistent with the usage of ontology as a set of concept definition in general, but more certainly it exudes a different kind, different sense of the word and its use in philosophy. What is important is that ontology exudes in purpose more than what it is in conceptualization. I'm going to say that again. What is more important? This is where we should have to look at existence. Ontology exudes in purpose more than what it exudes in conceptualization. Instead of saying, what is this? What is this for?
All right.
You get that?
All right.
Purpose. Mm-hmm. Purpose. Everything that manifests has to be tied to God's purpose. Instead of you trying to figure out what it is, we should focus on what is God's purpose. Because God's purpose defines what it is. In other words, it is more comprehensible in ascertaining what it is for than what it is purported to evince. Thus, it is the designing aspect of ontologism that is defined for the purpose of enabling knowledge sharing among God's creation for its use, as it is unnecessary for God to define or explain his existence. In this context and comprehension, scripturally speaking, ontology is the specification utilized by God for revelations of his ontological commitments. Hence, the former definition of ontological commitment is given for so-called humanly pragmatic reasons as a set of definitions of formal vocabulary. Although this isn't the only way to formalize a conceptualization, it embargoes properties for knowledge sharing among creatures in creation. Example, semantics that's independent humanly inspired context. Thus, in order to separate reality from so-called human practicality, an ontological commitment is an agreement to, without question, accept all scriptural conceptualization. Listen to me. To accept all scriptural conceptualizations void of unsupported, challenging queries and assertions in a way that is consistent with respect to its depiction of existence as specified by ontology. And accepting that as truth, that God alone is the creator and maker of all things. This, in effect, unquestioned certification. This is, in effect, unquestioned certification that he, that is God alone, is the sole agent that commits to ontologism. If you do not understand that, God alone, he is the sole agent that the devil didn't bring anything into being. No, the devil didn't create evil. God created it. So, Pastor, we're going to get into that next week.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And it means exactly what it says in the Old Testament. I create what?
Good.
And I create what?
Evil.
Amen. To bring it into existence. Down through the ages, creatures have normally accepted without question humanly emulated designs of ontologism. Hence, it is certainly more plausible to accept and share knowledge emulating from the divine emission of the sole creator agent. And next week we'll get into 1 John in corroboration, chapter 5, verse 9. Oh my God, you believe the witness of men, what? The witness of God is greater. Amen. Once we understand what this is about, no, we're not going to come in here and tell you that your problems are going to be solved. You know, you need a job. You need your body healed. You need your bills paid. It's all behind. We're going to come in here and not tell you, amen, you do A, B, and C, so forth and so on. No, listen, whatever God has planned and designed for you, that's what it's going to be. But the thing is to trust him that what, because of who you are, that you accept no matter how God works this thing out. You say, well, I'm sick. Well, I pray that you'll get better, but you may get worse. So, what kind of sermon is that? What is God's will for you? Purpose. What is the purpose of God in our lives?
Amen.
What is the purpose of God in the things that happen? What is the, you know, instead of looking at, trying to figure this thing out, say, what is this? You should be saying, what is this for? What is God's design in bringing this to pass? What is God doing? What is God bringing out in this? And when you follow that, you follow that also in the confidence that he loved you. And if he loved you, he loves you. And my confidence is knowing that I am the object of mercy and not wrath. I am the object of love and not hate. I am the object of his goodness. And all that he has for me is in the final analysis of things and what's going on in a particular day at a particular time is just something that's just happening. So our focus cannot be on the incidental properties of things that are happening day by day or where I am today. But it is an essence of the big picture. What is the big picture?
Yes.
The big picture is the eternal picture.
Yes.
Everybody say eternal.
Eternal picture.
All right, we'll take that up next week.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's give God a hand praise. Hallelujah.